And I do need notes because there might be 1,000 tangents I could go off on, so they're going to rein me back in again. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I feel very privileged to come and speak to you. My name's Michelle, and I'm a lover of Jesus, first of all, but I'm also a wife, and I have two gorgeous boys. One of them lives in England, and I've got a 17-month-old grandson and a one-week-old granddaughter, so very excited about that. The audience is a little bit older than I expected. I was going to suggest my 29-year-old son if there was any suitable ladies in the audience today. However, if you have any granddaughters or daughters, you can come and talk to me later. I'm also in my ministry as a naturopath. I very much view it as a ministry. I have so many beautiful ladies that I'm an unofficial counselor most of my day as well, and it's been so lovely and a privilege to be able to share Jesus with them as well. So there's always a box of tissues on my table, and everyone's welcome to come and talk. I particularly love talking one-on-one to people. I was a biology teacher years ago, but speaking to audiences is suddenly, oh my goodness, again, I'm out of that mode. So I'm more than the above, though. When I was born, my mum decided that she was going to name me after my French grandmother, and so she sent Dad off to the registry office, and he named me Michelle Joy Allwright. And so on my birth certificate, that was the name I had. And when I got married, that was changed, not my birth certificate, but my passports and any official document was changed to Michelle Joy Glassbrook. So the people that brought me into the world, the people that gave me birth, they had the right to call me my name. When I was 16, as 16-year-olds do, I had a best friend, and we decided at school that we were going to call each other names. So she was Chonky and I was Ponky for some reason. I don't know. It made sense when I was 16. So anyhow, every letter we wrote, we happily called each other my dear Chonky, you know, whatever. And I've had many names since then. I've been called Del by my brother, and Shell, and Babe, and Precious, and maybe some not so nice names as well. However, when my school certificate was issued, on that school certificate it had Michelle Joy Allwright, not Honky, thank goodness. It was those people who gave me birth that were able to name me and call me by what my name actually was. And so we've been born into the family of God. You know, we've been born again as Christians. It is God that has the right, the one who created you, who has the right to call you who you actually are. You're not defined by your behavior. You're not defined by your past. You're not defined by struggles and feelings and circumstances, your environment and what the world's doing at the moment. You are who God says you are.
Amen.
You know, when you surrender your life to Jesus, he loves you enough. He takes up residence in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. So you are a temple of Almighty God. That means that you are an overcomer. You're chosen, you're redeemed, you're adopted, you're qualified, you're not a mistake, you're not an afterthought, you're not a liability. You've been made in the image of God. Every aspect of that unique body, you know, with its strengths, its weaknesses, that unique character, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He's in you. Psalm 139:9-10 says, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Your capacity to walk in victory is tied to whether or not you have a correct view of your identity, who you are in him. Because you'll either live up to what you believe or you'll live down to what you believe about yourself. God keeps reminding us in Scripture just who we are. Now we have a relationship with him. You'll remember the Israelites for 400 years. They were in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. They were still the apple of God's eye. They were still his chosen people, but they were in Egypt as slaves. And when they came out of Egypt, it took 40 years for them to get that slavery mentality out of them. So, you know, they still had a mindset of deficiency, of lack, being subdued, scarcity, acting like bound people, when they were actually free. They had to learn to put off the old man and put on the new man. God had to change their minds, you know, so that they could see clearly that they were brand new people. They were free from their past because of their relationship with Yahweh. I love the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, they're in Canaan, so it's the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, which should have been absolutely fabulous, but we see the people, they had been called away from God. They'd actually been seduced by idolatry, which Moses already knew they were going to do, and he was a bit worried about it when he was dying. You know, he told them this was going to happen. They didn't turn their backs on Yahweh. They still worshipped Yahweh, but they included idols in their worship as well. In Judges 21:25, it says, "And everyone did what was right in his own eyes." This opened them up and it exposed them to attack from the enemy. Those Midianites had plagued them for 7 years, 7 consecutive years, marauded and stolen all their food. And Israel definitely wasn't living in the promises of God back then. They had to run and hide every time the Midianites came over the hills because of their exposure due to idol worship. Judges 6:12 is when the angel of the Lord appears. Now, in the Old Testament, when the angel of the Lord appears, that's really significant because the angel of the Lord appears to tell someone who he is. So he appears to Gideon. Now, Gideon is in a wine press. He should have been on the top of the hills, throwing the wheat into the wind so that the chaff could blow away and they'd have the grain so that they were able to eat it. But he was standing in a wine press. He was afraid of the Midianites. The angel of the Lord spoke to him while he was acting in opposition to who he actually was, who he was called by God. You know, often we give feelings a lot of power. He was afraid. You are not your feelings. You know, you're not what they did to you. You're not your past. Those things are part of your history, but they are not you. They are not who God says you are. Gideon was scared. He was acting out of fear and insecurity. But in Judges 6:12, what does the angel of the Lord say to him? "You mighty warrior" was the name that he gave him. "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So he said to the scared man, "You are a mighty warrior." That's who he was, not a scared man. And after that encounter, so Gideon had an encounter with this angel, and after that, it must have sunk in at some stage. He must have changed his mindset. He must have altered how he saw himself, because he went out and he started breaking the idols in his household one by one. And that changed not only the direction of his family, but the entire nation of Israel. Generational curses shift because one man got his identity straight. And the same man that was hiding in that wine press was able to trust God enough to gather 300 men only, because God got rid of so many of them. They took on an army of 140,000 Midianites, and God got the victory for them. And that changed the entire course of that nation of Israel. He came to realize whose he was, and that's what changed the entire nation. Yeah. You know, when you come face to face with the living God, it changes you, and then it affects the generations after you. And so my challenge to you is to ask you, how many people are attached to you that are waiting for you to get your identity straight? I have to believe the truth in my heart and renew my mind, then my soul prospers, my physical and my outer world conform as well. There's a man that I quite enjoy listening to. His name's Jim Richards, and he does a program called Heart Physics, which is quite outstanding. But he talks about the heart being the seat of our understanding and our perception. It's the place where God wants to meet us and teach us and commune with us. It's like the Holy of Holies. And the heart's got to do with your identity. You know, when you really believe something in your heart, then you know that you know that you know, and no one can sway you from it because you know. The biggest journey in life, however, is often the 12 inches from here to here, you know, to actually get what you might know in your head to, I know that I know. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. There was a lady, I think it was the 50s, called Dr. Candace Pert. She wrote a book called Molecules of Emotion. And her major discovery, which would have won her the Nobel Peace Prize if she hadn't been a woman back in those days, was that emotions are actual molecules, and molecules that attach to organs and to cells. I love the fact when we're doing detoxing with people is that emotions will often be released, because as we're releasing toxins, so the emotions of what was going on at that time in their life when the toxins were laid down are released at the same time. So people might suddenly have flashbacks of an old school teacher or something mum said or whatever. So absolute scientist Dr. Candace Pert was. It's not New Age airy-fairy stuff. It's interesting that the chemicals that you most frequently release, the body becomes dependent on that chemical. You know, so is it chemicals of fear and anxiety and dread and anger and those sorts of chemicals, or is it those chemicals that are consistent with the fruit of the spirit? Your body will become dependent on whatever you're releasing. When you're stressed, you go into that fight or flight mode where you shift to your sympathetic nervous system. And when you're in that stage, digestion is stopped. So we end up with digestive issues as a result. And blood that would normally flow to your organs, you know, the most important organs, your heart and your kidneys and your lungs and whatever, starts, your body prioritizes your limbs, because you're either going to have to stay and fight or you're going to have to run away. And then your immune system also becomes compromised. You start producing a hormone called cortisol. And cortisol is usually highest in the morning. That's what wakes you up in the morning so you can get out of bed and get going. However, if we are in stress all through the day, instead of cortisol raising in the morning and then dropping off so you can go to sleep at night, cortisol is doing this, and some people even going up at night. Then it's hard to get to bed, hard to get to sleep at night. You know, you end up with feeling hungry at night. And the worst thing about cortisol, of all the things I've told you, is that it's this rubber tire hormone. So we end up with all these rolls around the midriff as a result of stress, because we've allowed too much cortisol to come into our bodies. You know, you get focused on, when you're in that state of fight and flight, I'm going to survive. I'm not going to take care of myself to blow you. I'm not going to listen to God. I'm just going to survive. You've been so awesomely created. You know, every time your heart beats, it sends messages to your cells about who you are. So who you believe you are is getting to every single cell in your body. That message is so important. What message are we sending to every cell? Because your cells will come in, will conform to what you are telling it to them to do. I find if I spend too much time looking at the news, which I probably haven't watched the news for at least 4 years, but anyhow, you sort of hear snippets, and I actually don't need to watch the news, because in my clinic there's always someone that will tell me what's going on, which is just perfect. Or, you know, if I've been watching Telegram swishing through or good old Facebook, I think my thoughts start to go towards worry and fear and what's going on in the world and what's the future. It's like I can give the devil way too much time and way too much foothold in this mind, which will then affect my heart. we need to, I think, in my opinion, what I've decided I need to do, spend more time focusing on him. Let his blueprint be on my heart so that I become more sensitive to what Holy Spirit's saying, not what I'm being programmed. Your emotions are a reflection of where you are focusing your attention. You know what it's like. There's sometimes a loop in your head that goes round and round and round. We focus so much attention on things that may not be, you know, probably won't happen. Mm-hmm. My son often says to me, "Oh, Mum, worst case scenario." You know, I happen to be speaking to myself in this talk too. You know, if these things trouble you, stop doing it. It's more important to hear the voice of God than it is to have an intellectual grasp on current affairs. Look at Peter walking on the water. You know, he looked at the waves. It was stress that led him to look at the current events around him and the fact that he was not able to walk on water. What am I doing walking on the water? And you know the result of that. He took his eyes off Jesus and he sank. His emotional fear was a result of focusing his attention on the circumstance instead of Jesus. King Solomon said it best. He's in Proverbs 4:23. He says, "Above all else, guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life." Your heart's extremely valuable. You know, you don't guard worthless things. In Philippians 4:7, "And God's peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So mount garrison, it's like a castle around your heart. His peace protects you from the influences and the marauding Midianites in the outside world. Peace is so essential for optimal health, for success, for happiness, for victory. It allows your body to work properly. That's probably why we say grace before we eat our meal and don't just dive in. You know, we take time to take a deep breath and thank the Lord for this beautiful food that he's made. If you've had children, will know that when kiddies are stressed, they often say, "Oh, my tummy's sore." You know, the physical manifestation. If you're stressed before you're going to speak to a crowd of ladies, you're going to race to the toilet, you know. Breathing, just simple breathing is just stop and breathe. I've got something I often do with people. We lie them down on a bed and get them to breathe in through their abdomen and up into their chest and then into their head and do that 10 times and then hold their breath. It resets your whole parasympathetic nervous system that life's good. It's okay, I can do this. In a state of peacefulness, we can face opposition of any kind, yet still manage to hear that voice of God. And he's speaking to you all the time. It's just, we often race in a rushing woman syndrome. You know, we don't take time to sit and stand and listen. So there must have been a time when Gideon chose to take his eyes off the situation and start to believe exactly who God said he was, or he'd still be in the wine press threshing wheat. I have a beautiful friend. He's got a heart condition. And whenever he talks about his heart condition, I said his heart condition. It's not his heart condition. He always says, "The heart condition I'm conquering." He never says his heart condition. He's conquering a heart condition. We need to stop talking about our mountains and start speaking to our mountains. Tell your body what the Word of God says. You know, "By his stripes I was healed. I'm set free. I've been made whole. I'm a new creation." It's not your arthritis. It's not your depression. It's not your lack. It doesn't belong to you. That's contrary to what the Word of God says. The Word of God says he was healed at Calvary, so that's what he's fixed on. He can't see it in the natural. Many of us can't see things like that in the natural, but in the spiritual, that's what God's Word says. So he's waiting for his body to come in line with that truth. He's well aware that his words create. If you claim it as yours, it will become yours, because words are powerful. Many of you will know my health story. I spoke here a few years ago, but just briefly, We lived in three countries in 5 years. And when I got to New Zealand, you know, starting again in a new country, oh my goodness, there's just a whole new network that you need to develop. You don't even know where things are in the grocery store, how to get there. You haven't got any friends or support. It's just very difficult, especially when there's only your little family. And I ended up with big, fat, swollen joints. I couldn't string a sentence together. Absolute adrenal fatigue. I couldn't brush my hair or lift up the kettle. I just wanted to sleep the whole time. We used to go to the supermarket and I would park and let my 6 and 9 year old go in, or 6 and 8 year old go into the supermarket with a list, and they'd do the shopping, and then I would, every step was painful. I would move to the till and pay for things and then get out of the supermarket and couldn't remember where I'd parked the car. So what I did was I went to go and see a doctor, as one does, and they prescribed anti-inflammatories for me, which is standard. That would have been the normal thing to have done, but I've always been a bit of a rebel. So I, you know, even as a kid, I would throw my pills under the fridge. And when we moved house, there were all these gnarly pills under the fridge. Mum was mad. Yeah. So I was a biology teacher before I became a naturopath. And I decided that what I would do is I would go and find out about herbs, and I changed my diet. I radically changed my diet. I changed my job. I changed my mindset. I decided to do a comprehensive approach and change things because they clearly were not working for me. Stress is terrible. See how stress so profoundly affects the working of your body. I prayed for a miracle, but I'm so grateful that I didn't receive that miracle. God knows best, because I would have learned nothing about nutrition and healing herbs. If I had just received that miracle, I'd have carried on going along that same trajectory that I was on. And one thing that I've learned is that God works everything together for good for those that love him. His word says that, and I believe that word to be absolutely true, because I absolutely love what I'm doing now. So who knows what I would have been doing, and who knows what I would have been eating if I had just received that miracle straight out. Change often has to be a decision, you know, for you to choose to turn. Turn that 180 degrees from the direction that you're going in. To change the old thought processes, and then wait for your body, your family, your environment to catch up with what God says about you in that situation. I can remember standing in the doorway of our lounge one day, and I think it must have been Holy Spirit that said to me, "Do you really want to get better?" And I stood there and actually thought, of course, most spiritual people would say, absolutely, but no, I stood there for a minute and thought, do I actually want to get better? Because everyone's been really lovely to me. I was loving all the intention. It was just, from that perspective, great place to be. Clearly I decided on the right track and decided that I was going to get better, because I've had no symptoms for the last 16 years. So yes, I made a conscious decision to choose that I would be healed. If you truly believe he lives in you and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, perhaps we need to take a look at what we're actually feeding our minds, what we're programming. Hey, are we spending time with him? I've been really blessed on many levels. This little golden cocker spaniel that I got 2 years ago has been just an absolute blessing to me. Every morning, she makes me go on a prayer walk. I have to pick up my body some mornings and just get out the door. And once I start out there, it's just awesome being out at 6:30 in the morning. And then the other thing that I've tried that I've changed as well is, instead of sitting there in front of a TV watching programs that literally program you as to how you should be thinking about yourself, the world, and other people, is rather I've got on to doing Tara Lee Cobble. She does the Bible recap, so you go through the Bible in a year. I'm way behind, but that's all right. God knows where you're at. Mm-hmm. And that's been lovely, to sit there at night time and just get soaked in the word rather than being programmed by rubbish. Self-talk is also really important. You know, what are we feeding these temples of the Holy Spirit? Oh, I'm not good at. You know, the word says you're more than a conqueror. And you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Who have you allowed to get into your headspace and influence the way you see yourself, the way you see the world, and the way you see others? Because we allow that into our headspace. We need to get a little bit nerdy, because science shows us that our thoughts and emotions are profoundly affected by the foods we put into our bodies. You've got specific nerves called vagal nerves, and they run from your brain, your gut to your brain. They often say your gut is your second brain, and they're constantly sending messages and feedback. They're the main nerves of the parasympathetic nervous system, and they control things like digestion and heart rate and your immune system. You know, you've got a kg and a half of bacteria here in your gut. And the ideal would be if we were actually nourishing those bacteria to produce chemicals that benefit your body, because they do produce chemicals. I've got a little demo here just to show you as well, because this is a really cheap way for you to get good bacteria into your gut. One thing that I did, I absolutely love sugar, and I'm going to talk a bit sugar as we go along. But one thing that I did was got into coconut kefirs and sauerkrauts and things like that to start putting bacteria into my gut that say, feed me sauerkraut or feed me coconut kefir rather than feed me sugar, because that's their fuel source. So if you're craving sugar, you're eating way too much sugar. Start skewing your bacteria to those that are saying, feed me different things. So I just grabbed any old probiotic bottle out of my fridge. It could be any of the brands that most of us have half a health shop sitting in our houses. And so this bottle of 60 capsules, 30 vegetarian hard capsules, ends up making liters and liters and liters of coconut kefir. So, you know, you might spend $30, $40, $50, $90 for a bottle like this, but it will last ages if you do this. I've got just a jar, and I put hot water into it and just sterilized it that way. You can use any old jar. And what I've got here is some coconut water. So what we're going to do is just open the coconut water.
Do you want to just hold this?
Everyone needs a beautiful assistant. that's all good.
Need to go to the toilet.
Sorry?
The sound of running water.
Oh, yes, the toilet.
So I've just put a liter of coconut water into that jar, and then I'm going to just get two of these probiotic capsules. Don't put them in with the capsule on. You want to unscrew it and take the capsule off, or if you've got the powdered probiotics, just put that in as well. And this one's coming up out like a fabulous lump. If it does do that, bacteria don't love metal very much, so you'd want to just get a plastic spoon and just mix it around. And so if I wasn't on this beautiful carpet, I'd probably give it a good shake or something. And then after you've done that, what you do is just put anything on, a towel on, and leave it on the bench top for a couple of days, maybe 2 days. I made one already here, and I knew it was ready because there were little bubbles just starting to fizz around the edge of it, and you can see the color. See, the color is different on the right. That one's already fermented. So This coconut water is fabulous as well. It's just full of potassium. It's full of electrolytes. People will drink it in the tropics and near the equator as well, because we sweat a lot, and so coconut water is fabulous for that. And so here we've got absolutely fabulous bacteria, fermented that coconut, it used the sugars in the coconut water. You could start off by having a teaspoon a day and then build it up. Some of my ADHD children are having a liter of this a day to get their gut bacteria right in order to help their minds and their brains function better. Afterwards, if you'd like to come off, do you want to hand it around now, Katie? There's, I've made up little samples for you. So remember, it's not this fabulous sweet drink, that it's a fermented drink that you're going to drink. There's no pressure, but if you would like to try some, that'll get a whole lot of liters of this out of a bottle of probiotics and save you money too.
So once that has fermented in that one you've just popped it in, does it grow? Do you add?
Once it's fermented, once you've left it out on the bench top for 2 or 3 days, then you pop it in your fridge, and then it will stop it fermenting it more, because the longer you leave it on the fridge, it's going to become more and more and more sour and bitter, and it's not absolutely fabulous. And then if that does happen, throw some blueberries or something into it and get them to ferment the sugars and the blueberries, and it'll taste a bit better as well.
And then do you?
You can keep it in the fridge indefinitely. I've kept one in the fridge that I didn't use for about 6 months, but you will start to see mold growing if it's been there way too long.
Well, that's
I've done
that as well. I've better get another one.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you don't take a bit out of that to restart a new one?
It's like ginger beer. Ginger beer.
Yeah, like a bug.
Jude's asked if you can take a bit out to start. Yes, I was just keeping it simple, but yes, you can. So when you get down to about a cup at the bottom, then you can put another litre of coconut water into it, sit it on your bench top for 2 or 3 days.
Okay, so I'll get it.
Yes, they'll be so happy to be given more coconut water to implement, yeah. More food for them. So if those gut bacteria at 1.5 kg in your gut are producing substances that affect the cells of your body, perhaps we want to be putting more and more of these good ones in that are saying, feed me good fruit and vegetables. You know, there's some of those bacteria produce oxytocin, and oxytocin makes you more sociable and friendly. And other bacteria produce chemicals that will cause depression and anxiety. So, what you feed your physical body has a profound effect on that microbiome, and in turn will affect your mind. Now, sugar. Sugar seems to be in everything nowadays. The only problem is that we don't want to be feeding those feed-me sugar bacteria. Sugar's very acidic. It's been described as white death. It causes fungal yeast forms to grow into fungal forms. So if that's your gut, then what the yeast does is it comes and it opens up those tight junctions between your cells, which allows rubbish to get into your lymphatic system and into the bloodstream. I grew up eating, Kate will know because Kate's my cousin, she can vouch for our family. We eat lemon meringue pie for breakfast in our family. We used to. As a kid, that used to be fabulous. Leftovers, woohoo, we all have pudding for breakfast. So, you know, that's been programmed in someone from little. Oh, I'm sad. Well, let's have a chocolate. Well done, let's celebrate as a cake. Sugar. Those neural pathways are very strong. So my constant battle is to find foods and to do things that will stop those defaulting immediately to those old pathways of, well, let's go and get sugar. So I make sure I get enough protein in each of my meals specifically, and eat fermented foods. They are fabulous. I cannot stress enough, I do not love sauerkraut, but the more I eat it, the less I eat sugar. So, yes. So it may not be a Gideon's case back then when, you know, diets were far more simple than we have now. There weren't supermarkets where you could get plastic foods and full of preservatives, and there was no McDonald's. But, you know, in Isaiah 55, I love the message, Jude, The message says, why do you spend your money on junk food, your hard-earned cash on cotton candy? Listen to me. Listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with only the finest. You remember Daniel and his pals in Daniel 1:8? Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. In verse 12 of Daniel 1, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. And verse 15, at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. You've heard the saying, you are what you eat. You know, every single thing you put in your mouth either heals you or it harms you. There's no grey food, because everything you put in your mouth makes you. So eat plastic foods. I usually think some cheeses look so plastic to me. Eat plastic foods. And then why are we complaining about our blood pressure and our, you know, our blood vessels, the integrity is not fabulous of them. We are exactly what we eat. Other thing, another bugbear of mine is these GM foods, genetically modified foods, high fat, sugar, refined flours, animal protein that's got hormones and antibiotics in it. You know, no wonder our body comes be filled with dis-ease. God's given us wisdom and a mind to use as well. Jamie Oliver won a court case against McDonald's because McDonald's were putting ammonium hydroxide into the fatty bit of their meat to wash it with. And it took a court case for McDonald's to actually change the formula of their meat. Unethical company. And yet every day when I drive past McDonald's, there's queues of people lining up to get their Big Macs. Gluten. Gluten's another pet hate. You know, gluten levels in Australia in our wheat are extremely high. And the majority of people that I see, our bodies don't have enough enzymes to digest the gluten. Every time you take in gluten, there's a protein in your gut called zonulin. And zonulin's like a big German bouncer outside the pub doors. And zonulin stands there and he decides who's allowed into the pub or your bloodstream. When gluten comes in, gluten all gang up on zonulin. He's seeing stars on the floor and then everyone's allowed in. So, you know, we need to be... I always err on the side of, well, you know, 90% of the time we need to really be careful of what we're doing. When it's your birthday, do whatever you like, you know, but the rest of the time, be very mindful of these things. If it's making your gut leaky, it's going to cause dis-ease because those particles have to go somewhere. They're making the liver work harder. They're being deposited around cells. Nutrients can't get into and out of your cells as a result. A lovely way to help heal your gut is by using collagen. When in the old days, Mum used to use gelatin, and we still use gelatin now. Gelatin's a cooked form of collagen. Collagen's fabulous because it acts like polyfiller in your gut, so it's going to heal all those cracks as a result of poor zonulin being flat and, you know, those tight junctions opening. I have got some gummies that I made for you. So gummies are really easy. Collagen is something you can throw into a smoothie. Some people have capsules of collagen, however you can get collagen into you. Well worth it because it forms part of your hair and your tendons and your ligaments and your blood vessels. You know, it's placentas need collagen. It's really something that's awesome to be using. There's our recipes at the front because I didn't do handouts of, so if you want to come and photograph, these are the ones that... I used were in your packet. There's a red one, a purple one, and a yellowy one. Do you want to hand those out as well, Katie? Sure. So the red one I made with raspberries. It's a bit more bitter. There's the blueberry one, and there's an apple juice one. Lovely thing to give to children and grandchildren, friends, instead of lollies full of sugar. In those, because I don't usually do this myself, but I did put a bit of honey in just because of an audience I wasn't quite sure what tastes you might have. So I also at home make apple cider vinegar ones for myself, and almost before every single meal I'll have apple cider vinegar gummies or apple cider vinegar. I actually have it as a liquid as well, because that stimulates acid production in your stomach. When you've got enough stomach acid, you then digest protein better, and it tells your pancreas to produce enzymes to digest food better. So it's not then hanging around just fermenting, causing issues. pH is another thing which is really important. We need pH for good bacteria to survive. When you acidic, reactions in your body don't take place very well, and conditions that are known to be as a result of acidity in most cases, not all of them, because there's always exceptions, things like cancers and arthritic conditions, we've got ourselves too acidic, don't have enough to stomach acid. Stress makes you acidic. Sugar, or things that turn to sugar, make you acidic. And too much animal protein. Those things contribute to acidity in a body. Most people that I have had experience with also are not getting enough fiber in their diet. So I thought I'd bring these along. Good ways to get fiber in your diet are chia seeds. So chia seeds are gluggy little seeds, which are fabulous if you add them to some almond milk with some berries and make a bit of a pudding. It sets quite beautifully. The other thing are flax seeds. So flax seeds are a bit difficult to eat. You can put them into breads. You can put them into smoothies. And I've got a recipe here as well for some seedy crackers. It's a beautiful cracker recipe because it's got flax seeds and it's also got some psyllium husks in. Psyllium's also one of those gluggy things which, if you don't want to use it just by itself, there are psyllium capsules which people can use as well. I'm going on about fiber because fiber is really essential to bulk up stools. It gives your body something to contract against. And then it scours out any pockets that are forming in the bowel and gets rid of it. There are some people that can't cope with those. If you've got diverticulitis, you don't want to be having those things. Maybe things like guar gums, slippery elms in small doses would do the same. You might have been wondering about me talking about animal protein. So just to qualify, animal protein's fine. The ratios are 100 grams animal protein to 400 grams of veggies. So you can go to the Meringandan pub and have an 800 gram steak, that's fine. You just need to eat 3.2 kgs of veggies. So maybe you're Gideon and circumstances in life have not been favorable. Maybe you're like Hagar and people have done things that are wrong to you. Abram and Sarai threw her out into the desert and there she was in the wilderness. And maybe you're like Moses. Moses did things himself. He killed an Egyptian. He was the prince of Egypt and there he was out in the wilderness way under his pay grade tending sheep. Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife twice. Noah got drunk. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair, and then he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed. Jonah ran away from God. Jacob was a cheater. Martha was a worrywart. Isaiah 59:1 says, "The arm is not short, his arm is not short, that he cannot save. His ears are not dull, that he cannot hear. And his eyes are not dim, that he cannot find you where you are." If you've dug yourself a well, whether it be physically, spiritually, emotionally, and it's one of your own making, the arm of the Lord's still able to reach down and rescue you. He finds you wherever you are. It's you who needs to choose to take God at his word and believe who he says you are. So I want to remind you what your name is, who you really are. I have got these handouts which I'll give you afterwards. This is who you are. a child of God, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, redeemed, you're chosen, adopted, qualified, you're healed, you're delivered, you're forgiven, you're blessed, you're protected, you're set apart, you're reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, you're not condemned by God, you're justified, Christ's righteousness, you're his ambassador, you're tenderly loved by God, you're blameless and beyond reproach, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world, you're his beloved, a branch of the vine, Christ's friend, a joint heir with Jesus, sharing his inheritance. You're beautiful. Your voice is sweet and your face is lovely, Song of Songs. Hidden with Christ and God. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not below. You're accepted. You're set free. You're created by him. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You're made in his image, seated with him in heavenly places. You're called. You're the bride of Christ. You're made whole. You're a saint, a member of his body, a new creation. You're an heir. You're no longer a slave. You're alive in Christ, God's workmanship. You are known by him. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to say anything, just leave you with all of that. Amen, amen. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you so much, so much. If anybody videoed it, I think Lee was. Anyway.
Actually, not video, it's sound, isn't